Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Dries Bethart. I'm the founder and project lead of Drupal, also co-founder and CTO of Acquia. I gave my biannual State of Drupal presentation here in Paris, and I talked a little bit about, you know, the pattern that I saw of how Drupal is being developed and how we as a community innovate. And, you know, it started from the basis of an individual release cycle and how that is actually sort of a hype cycle, if you will. And then innovation happens over time by, you know, basically chaining multiple of those little hype cycles together, and they actually make up an S-curve. And if you start at looking at this sort of in a holistic way, you actually see that the evolution of Drupal actually follows the evolution of many other technologies or products. And that we've been going from an innovation to being more of a bespoke systems, like custom tailored solutions, to, you know, more like products, if you will. And you see that with some of the distributions that are emerging, like OpenAtrium or Pressflow and things like that. So, you know, that's one evolution. And I predict, and, you know, in fact, it's already happening, the next step in that evolution is more services around Drupal, such as Buzzer or Drupal Gardens and things like that. And
so it seems like there's a number of tensions that tend to come up in the process of Drupal. And, you know, should it be a content management system, a CMS, or a framework? And, you know, developers versus designers, all these sort of tensions. That, so how do you fit those into the context of what's happening with these innovation cycles?
Sure. So as we grow up, right, and as we go from innovation to products and services, you'll see that more and more end users are going to come into the picture. And so the way we innovate is naturally evolving from a model where innovation is based on developers to a model where we actually have to listen to these users and take them into account as we innovate. And that's a little bit of an interesting transformation because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, because we're all developers, right, we have to accept and realize that as we go forward, and if we want to grow up, we have to start listening to these other people, and we have to figure out ways to embrace them and, you know, make them part of the larger Drupal community.
I guess another tension that's sort of emerging right now is the centralization on Drupal.org versus sort of the more decentralized efforts of features and other things to sort of like put it off, but still feed back in. But maybe you could talk a bit about like where you see that trend of that tension between those two.
Right. So, you know, we see more and more decentralization as we go forward. And I'm still on the fence about that, to be honest. I don't think it's a bad thing per se to have more and more decentralization. In fact, I do believe that in many cases it can be a very good thing, actually. And the reason why I'm on the fence about it is that because, you know, when I started Drupal, one of the first things we did, and which I think we did right, was we centralized all of the code, all of the modules, all of the themes in a central CVS repository. And we were one of the very first projects to do so, you know, well before Joomla or Mambo at the time, and well before WordPress. And I do believe it gave us a great competitive advantage, as illustrated by the fact that pretty much every other project, you know, applied the same model later on. And so I'm a little bit on the fence about, you know, if that's something we want to give up as a community, because there is real value in being able to, in centralizing the code, because you can hand off projects from one developer to another and provide continuity for code and stuff like that. So
Drupal 7 is getting to the point of, it's getting past the sort of critical threshold of all the new stuff. And you sort of made a big announcement of the exceptions and sort of a more structured post code slush and after the thaw, code slush, and then the code freeze at different phases in a lot more structured way. Maybe you could sort of explain sort of what's going to happen from here on out.
Yeah, so essentially, you know, I announced that, you know, we're extending the code freeze by 1 week, effectively, so people can still get stuff done while we are all together here at DrupalCon, which I guess makes a lot of sense because of all the code sprints happening. But then we actually are going to enter in another phase of the code freeze, which, you know, we sort of called slush, because it's in between freeze and, I guess, not freeze. And that's a period where we do not allow new features, but there's a couple of exceptions, 10 exceptions that Webchick and I sort of identified that we, you know, of important strategic features that we still would like to see get into core. And so we'll time box that to 5 weeks, so they might or might not make it in, but hopefully they will, right? And then secondly, in the code slush phase, we also allow API changes of features that already made it into Drupal 7. And that's important for a couple of reasons. One, you know, it's important to encourage people to upgrade their contributed modules, because if they find that upgrading the code is not easy because of some API, you know, issue, if you will, they still have an opportunity to help improve the APIs in Drupal 7 core. So that's important because it, you know, it will make for a better, you know, developer platform, effectively. There was another reason why it was important, but it just escaped me. Believe me, it's really important. And then, of course, as always, in a Drupal code freeze, there is still room to make usability improvements, performance improvements, and accessibility improvements to add more tests and things like that. Okay, and then so after the code slush, we go to another phase, which is time boxed to be at 4 weeks, which is which we'll refer to as, like, you know, strictly polished, if you will. At that point, the APIs are frozen, and it's, you know, it's a matter of smaller usability improvements, smaller accessibility improvements, documentation improvements, to effectively arrive at a point 4 weeks after where we can freeze the UIs and freeze the strings, so that the translation team and the documentation team can start to translate Drupal and update the handbook pages and stuff like that. And then at that point, we effectively enter the last phase of the code freeze, which is unlimited in time, but will lead to the final release of Drupal 7 when it's ready. And it's ready when all of the release show stoppers have been addressed.
Great. So what are you really looking forward to in terms of, like, getting Drupal 7 out the door and, like, seeing what's on the horizon after, you know, coming up in the next 2 to 6 months, however long it ends up being?
Well, I'm most excited about, you know, Fields API in core, because it's sort of the biggest architectural change that we made in probably the last 4 years. I mean, it's fundamentally changing the node concepts to more of a field-driven data structure, which, you know, opens the door for, you know, a lot of new potential applications and things which we haven't really been able to do before. I mean, we've tried to do them with, you know, comments as nodes and stuff like that, but I do think it's one of those key changes, one of those, you know, very new building blocks which will allow a lot of innovation to happen the next couple of years, you know, if not the next 5 years or so. And so that's something I'm really looking forward to, and I'm very curious to see how people are going to use or abuse the new Fields API.
One of the other sort of interesting thing that you had in your presentation a number of times is sort of the creative destruction, the things that, you know, the growing pains that have to happen in order to go from one Drupal site to the next, and sort of the statement of just being, if you're not afraid, you're doing something wrong.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, the Drupal community, one of our strengths is our ability to innovate, and the fact that we're so web native and sort of state of the art. I think that's part of our DNA from day one. And, you know, it's very important that we maintain that competitive edge, if you will. And so we have to keep innovating. But to innovate, you also have to be willing and be able to throw away some of the old stuff. You know, effectively, you know, Drupal 7 will hopefully replace a lot of Drupal 6, and hopefully Drupal 8 will be able to replace a lot of, you know, Drupal 7.
I guess another thing that you just announced here is the Acquia Gardens and Fields. Both of them. Maybe you could talk a bit about the process of developing Drupal 7, which is sort of like, you know, this cutting, bleeding edge, but also sort of building a web service on top of that, sort of in parallel.
Right. Acquia announced two products at DrupalCon Paris. One is Acquia Hosting, which is scalable cloud hosting for large Drupal sites. And the other one, which is built on Acquia Hosting, is called Drupal Gardens, which is, you know, think about it like, you know, WordPress.com for Drupal. It's a hosted version of Drupal with a very easy on-ramp, so people don't have to install Drupal and also don't have to worry about upgrading Drupal. Plus, it comes with a whole bunch of features that enable people to, you know, rapidly create beautiful websites. So we built and previewed, you know, the theme builder, which is something we developed. And Drupal Gardens will be built on Drupal 7. And so, you know, it's essentially it's going to be Drupal 7 with some additional stuff, you know, that we built in-house, plus hopefully, you know, when these modules are ready, a bunch of contributed modules that we'll, you know, also add to the platform.
This is a very busy time. What's sort of on your plate coming up in the next 6 months before the next DrupalCon?
Oh, good question. There's a lot of work still to do around Drupal Gardens. It's pre-alpha, so it's not even in alpha yet. So a lot of the stuff which I'll be working on is, you know, getting that to beta and hopefully to a release pretty soon. But obviously also, you know, working hard in the issue queues to get a Drupal 7 out of the door, you know, things like that. And Malum, of course, there's always Malum. And, you know, what else? But, you know, Drupal Association work. I would really like to pick up where we left off on the Drupal.org upgrades. So that's going to be on my things to-do list as well.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
Welcome.